Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here. We're in the midst of going through the order of the application of salvation. What we mean by this is the order in which the Holy Spirit applies the work of Jesus Christ to the hearts of people like you and me. I'm giving you an extended order of the application of salvation based upon what the Shorter Catechism tells us in defining effectual calling. In review, remember that we began with the idea of hostility. Hostility introduced by God when He brought Adam and Eve out from under the clutches of the evil one. God said to the devil, "I will put enmity between you and the woman." That is, I will introduce hostility between you and the woman. And because this is a God-introduced hostility, this is a hostility that must be removed by God. Then we talked about conviction and illumination. God convicts individuals of the fact that they are guilty before Him as sinners, and that they are hostile toward Him, and He gives them His Spirit to this extent that they understand and see that the gospel is beautiful. Conviction and illumination are under the category of what we call common operations of the Holy Spirit. This is true because God works commonly, that is, on unbelievers and believers alike in giving them conviction and illumination. But those who are effectually called receive conviction, illumination, and regeneration, that is, the new birth. And in this lesson, we come to the idea of the new birth or regeneration. It's quite striking and significant that the Westminster Divines, in defining effectual calling, place the proof text for the new birth under the category of regeneration. That is, in the category of renewing the will. And one of the texts they utilize is Ezekiel chapter 36 and verses 25 through 27. Listen to what the prophet says. "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. From all your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules." The New English Standard Version. God says in granting the new birth that He will take out of individuals like you and me that stony heart, which is not pliable, which does not mold itself and is not molded in conformity with the law of God. It is a stony heart which is rebellious against the Word of God. And God says He will introduce to you a new spirit. He will renovate your soul, and He will change the inclination of your heart. More upon this in a moment. And God also says that He will empower this new heart, this heart of flesh, and this heart which is inclined toward Him. He will empower this new heart by giving the gift of His Holy Spirit. And Ezekiel says, therefore, that God says, "I will cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." What an amazing thing God does. This is a removal of the hostility resident within the human heart and changing that heart into a pliable heart, a heart which will respond to the Word of God, and a heart which is then empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. The Apostle Paul speaks about this change of heart in Romans chapter 8 and verses 5 and following. Listen to what this text says. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. It does not submit to the law of God. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. The word hostile in this text, or the word hostility as it might be translated, is the very same word that's used in the Old Testament in the Greek translation of the Old Testament in Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity, I will put hostility between you and the woman. This is the very same concept, the very same idea that Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 5. For the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. You see, this hostility must be overturned. And this is exactly what God does. Listen again to the text. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Now, the idea of mind in Romans chapter 8 and verses 5 and following is not the usual idea translated mind in the New Testament. Actually, this word in the Greek language has to do with the mindset or the attitude or the inclination of the heart. In other words, God changes your mindset. God changes your attitude. God changes the inclination of your heart. The text may be translated this way. For those who live according to the flesh have the mindset of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit have the mindset of the Spirit. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. You see, in changing the heart and giving a new heart, what God does is change the mindset, or change the inclination of the heart, or change the desires of the heart. It's a very amazing thing, a miraculous thing which God does. Again, for the mindset of the flesh is death. You see, hostility towards God leads to death. But the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. For the mindset of the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not submit to the law of God. Indeed, it cannot. Why can the minds of the flesh not submit to God? Because there's no desire to do so. The inclination of the heart is downward, opposed to God. And no one acts contrary to their own will. We all act in accordance with the desires of our own wills. We do not act contrary to the desires of our own wills. And so, the mindset of the flesh is death. So the mindset, the inclination of the heart, must be changed. Let's illustrate it this way. In an airplane, there is an instrument on the panel. This would go for small planes of an older vintage. an instrument on the panel which has a silhouette of an airplane looking at it from the rear. And there's a line in that instrument. And when the silhouette goes below the line, that means the nose of the aircraft is pointed down. The inclination of the aircraft is down. And the silhouette of the aircraft in the instrument must be brought up even with the line in that instrument for the airplane to be flying level. And when the airplane silhouette is above the line, then the inclination of the aircraft is upward. And our inclination, the inclination of our hearts, need to be upward toward God rather than downward toward the ground or toward the devil and toward darkness and toward evil. And for the inclination of the airplane to be changed, the pilot must change that inclination. And of course, the pilot of the individual, the pilot of you and me, your pilot, is God Himself. He's the one that changes the inclination of your heart. And He does so by causing you to be born again by the Holy Spirit. And this, of course, is a sovereign work of the great God of heaven. As Jesus says in John 3, the Spirit blows where He will, and you hear the sound of it, but you don't know from where He comes or where He goes. So it is with those who are born of the Spirit. You hear the sound of the wind. You hear the results of the wind. You don't see the wind itself. And you don't see the Spirit. You don't feel the Spirit. The Spirit is not something which is tangible, which you can put your hands upon like the pages of this Bible and feel. No, you feel the results of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And as you see the results of the Spirit blowing through wheat fields and the wheat waving in the wind, or the leaves of the trees blowing in the wind, and you see the wheat leaves fluttering in the wind, so you experience the result of the work of the Spirit in your heart. And as we will talk about it in another lesson, the result of the work of the Spirit is conversion, repentance, and faith. And so, in order to experience the work of regeneration, you and I must be in a place and in a circumstance where we are utilizing the means of grace, reading the Word of God, praying and hearing the Word of God. We must be in a place where the Spirit of God is vitally at work. And the best place for us to experience the work of the Holy Spirit, as we will see, and as we have already discussed, is the assembly of God's people gathered together for worship. In that place, God may, by His grace, apply the work of Jesus Christ to your heart to cause you to be born again. And so, you must go to the place of worship. You must utilize the means of grace. You must read the Word of God. You must pray, and you must seek the Lord while He may be found. This is the idea, you see, of seeking the Lord and then experiencing the grace of God in the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. That is, in causing you to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Thanks for listening.